All right, Rabbi Osai, Shavuot Tov. Dig in, grab that pizza. Beautiful Shabbos Atus, beautiful to see everybody here tonight. Big crowd. And I wanna just first, before we even dig into the Kishkas of the Shir, just mention something that happens often in Elul. What happens in Elul, especially with us Baalei Tshuva, tonight's going to be, hopefully, a cathartic type of Shir. One where you can hopefully get chizik and kind of feel like you're at home with yourself and with the world. During Elul, let's be honest, we tend to beat ourselves up. We tend to think that we messed up so much. Or if we're not there yet, we will be like the day before Rosh Hashanah for not being there in time. Like, whatever it is, at some point, you're going to get to a point where you're just like, I'm an epic failure. And you're not. And the key is that you're not. And as a Baal Tshuva, you have to recognize and see just how profound your change was. That, like, we're so in the system of what it is to now be from that we don't even appreciate the changes that we made. Let me repeat that, because that's incredibly vital and important. We're so ensconced within the system of frumkeit, basr b'chalav, did I, you know, shnayim otzim v'tav. Hello, you changed your life for Torah, and 20 years ago you were sitting as a couch potato watching who knows what and playing what video game. Look at what you're doing with your life. It's a big, special thing. And so tonight's topic is called Returning to Ourselves, Appreciating Our Greatness as Baalei Tshuva. And as always, we're going to start from Chazal. We're going to start from a Gemara. It's a little bit controversial Gemara, because depending on if you're an FFB or depending on if you're a BT, you will see that this can be learned two different ways. But that's going to be our launching pad, and then we're going to go into a mashal from one of my rebbeim, who might also be one of yours. We're going to dissect that mashal, and hopefully we'll have some clarity on what it is that we should be going before Hashem, saying and feeling on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so the Gemara in Brachas 34b, and also Sanhedrin 99a says, Makom shebalei tshuva omdin tzadikim gemurim einam omdin. The famous Gemara that we all know. If you were in Kiru for a hot second, you probably heard this. If there aren't enough short seats, you know, thank God, good crowd. Just share.
Is there more there, though?
No, these are the old guys.
Oh, those are the old guys.
All right. Makom shebalei tshuva omdin tzadikim gemurim einam omdin. The place where balei tshuva stand, the completely righteous cannot stand. The place where balei tshuva stand, the completely righteous cannot stand. So let's understand that there are two different ways of learning this piece. The first is typically the way the FFBs learn, typically, but not always, which is that this isn't dealing with us as Baalei Tshuva. It's dealing with real, quote-unquote, Baalei Tshuva. Those who were raised Torah observant, they totally fell out of the fold, and then they came back. There are others who say, many Rebbeim that we learn from, and many Rebbeim who have the Hashkafa that we're going to share tonight, say, you're right that that's true, but it's also more than that. It also includes us, those who came from a non-observant background, who boldly changed their lives, and now are Torah observant. And so there's two approaches, and I have to say that that first approach exists, or the whole shir would be disingenuous. Because the whole shir is not contingent upon that idea, but this is what we're going to use to open it up completely. Dig into the pizza, don't worry about the noise. Let's go. Alright, here we go. So, again, the first piece is that, according to some, this entire chap, first of all, is not a universal opinion. It's a response, if you look at the whole entire sugya, to a comment that came before. If you want to check it out, like we said, it's Brachas 34b or Sanhedrin 99a. And then not only is it a response to something, it's also an opinion that's only about those Baalei Tshuva who actually are defined as people who were observant, fell out of the fold, then came back and did tshuva in that sense. But as we all know, there's also another opinion that says it's about us. So we're going to try to understand and unpack what it even means for us as Baalei Tshuva to be standing in a place that even the completely righteous can't stand in. Because there are rebellion that hold exactly like I'm about to say. And so before we dive into that, big caveat, and I'm also going to say it later, we should not get arrogant. There are things that we can learn from the FFB world, and there are things that the FFB world can learn from us, and we should use our unique kochos and nefesh together to do the mission that we're here to do. Okay, so with that, let's dive in. Rabbi Noach Orlowick. If you've heard of Rabbi Orlowick, he was one of my rabbis at Mokon Yaakov. He teaches at Mokon Shlomo. He's not only that, but he's a big, big Talmud Chacham. He teaches all over the world. And so he has a famous mashal.
Literally
famous. Yeah, no, literally, all over the world, 100%. Yeah. Rabbi Noach Orlowick, written many, many, many books, big, big into education and chinuch. And so he's going to give you a mashal right now that he said in a character development shiur. And it was just like a very short mashal. So the mashal is like this. This is from Rabbi Orlowick. Imagine that you're a mountain climber. And you're ready to ascend to the top of the biggest and toughest mountain that you've ever climbed. You spent years, days, nights training for this. You spent tons of money on the best gear. You've packed all the food that you need. You rationed it perfectly. You've done everything proper to do this climb. And you know it's arduous. It's known to be a hard climb. It's not pashut to do this climb ever. And you're ready to rock and you're going to do it. After several days of the most arduous climb of your life, you're finally at the summit. You're grinning from ear to ear with sweat pouring down your face. You're panting and you're out of breath. And you stand on top of that mountain. And as you're there, you see a small child. And you're puzzled. How could you get on top of this mountain? But the child is just as puzzled, saying in response, I was born here. I was born here. What's the mashal? The Baalei Tshuva are the mountain climbers. We're climbing up this mountain that is arduous. And the FFB stands on that glorious top of that mountain, born into that. That's powerful. That is a blow away. Because if you think about it, yeah?
That sounds exactly like the Baalei where they're both standing.
Oh, mamish. And that's exactly what we're going to 100% Sam Kareem, but that sounds like a makom that they're both standing in. And this is going to open that up. When we say makom shabale tshuva omdim, tzadikim gemurim einan omdim, we have a child as the mashal who'd done nothing wrong. Born an FFB kid. Perfect. But yet there's something, I don't want to say lacking, so I'll say extra. There's something extra by the Baal Tshuva who did that arduous climb. And so we have to see that when we're, quote-unquote, beating ourselves up during Elul over all the sins that we've done, that we're holding in a place where we have to celebrate the fact that we're even holding in this place. Because we weren't, even just a few years ago, 15 years ago. Yeah? And so what makes us uniquely special as Baalei Tshuva is that we worked tooth and nail to get up the mountain. Now, do the FFBs work hard too? You got it, 100%. There's no doubt that the FFBs are working their tail off with a lot of different tests that they have. But every test and every weird Shiloh that we've ever had in our life, they've never had. I'll give you an example from my own personal experience. My wife and I, we were married about 10 years ago, and one of the things that is very important to my wife is that we go to simchas for her relatives. Her relatives are not from people. How do you make that happen? There's going to be mixed dancing. There's going to be, maybe there's a woman singing. You don't even know, yeah? Then they're going to be Motzi Shabbos to accommodate you, even though how am I supposed to get to Puerto Rico at your foreign wedding? Yeah, so, like, what? Like, where am I going to be for Shabbos? These are shilas that the FFBs are never going to have. They're pre-packaged Lakewood wedding, boom, here we go. We don't have, we have these shilas that they'll never have. And that is part and parcel of what it is to be where we are. Next page. In terms of the place where we stand is a place that they'll never, ever, ever be able to stand. And again, of course, we have to respect and emulate those who are born on top of the mountain. But it's equally incumbent upon us to appreciate how great our climb was. Tonight is not about hating on the FFB world. We want to be just like them in a certain sense. We want to learn like they learn. We want to send our kids to their schools. We want to grow and be like that. But to see the climb and where you started from, and going into Elul and Rosh Hashanah, and to go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I changed my life for this life. And yeah, you know what? I'm fighting over what I have to do proper with my parents, or what I have to do right with Shidduchim, or this or that, or am I able to even daven from the Amud? Like, what am I wearing a talis when I shouldn't be wearing? All of these shilas that we just don't even have, or the hard ones, like I mentioned, that very same wedding, we had to spend Shabbos in a hotel room. They didn't have an A-roof, asked for billets because it was 10 years ago. Tons of different shilas, and we forgot to make Havdalah.
Oh.
So I'm running around, racing around like a weirdo. Hey, do you have grape juice? You have grape juice? I'm not a wedding. Like, what do you want grape juice for? Yeah. But these are the things that we do. These are the things that we finally got it. Thank God it worked out. Shiloh after Shiloh. But these are the things that you do. And I guarantee you, I'm not an exception. You might have wilder cases, you know? And these are the tests that make us who we are. It's not our failures and, oh, I didn't repeat Shema when I should have. Right? Make sure you do, right? Make sure you repeat Shema. But it's these challenges and these tests that we face that those who are already on top of the mountain, who are already born there, will never face. And so the place on the mountain where we, wherever we find ourselves, that's the makom that only the Baalei Tshuva can stand in. And so, like we said by Rabbi Orlovich, the from birth individual and the Baal Tshuva could be standing on top of the mountain, the same exact place, but it feels totally different. It feels totally different because we tirelessly fought to get there. Are we better than them? No. No. And you have to know that. And I write down in a big note, I say, note, watch out. None of this should be used to think that BTs are better than FFBs. Not having to go through such tests makes FFBs pure and possibly even more kadosh than a Baal Tshuva can ever hope to be. Because if they don't even experience that type of test, look how holy and pure they might actually be. That said, we have to celebrate who we are. And instead of spending all of Elul beating the tar out of each other, or out of ourselves, you know, for all of our failings, we have to go do the Tshuva process. We have to go and try to reconnect to Hashem. And we have to do our best to see our negatives, but we have to tether ourselves to what we did in the first place. Tshuva is about returning to the essence of who you are. Tshuva is about connecting to the source of all things. You changed your life for Torah, for Yiddishkeit, to be a bigger and a better person. And so, E, celebrate your greatness. See how far you've come. And you have to remember that, like in Perkei Avot, 5:23 tells us, Lafum Tzara Agra. Lafum Tzara Agra. According to the pain or the exertion is the reward. And you'll see, some of us, it still takes a lot of time to break our teeth on a Gemara. And, you know, your kids are going to learn you under the table. And good, they should. I give you a bracha, and this is so crucial. I give you a bracha, everyone in this room, everyone listening, that the top of the top of the top of the ceiling of your learning, the top of the top of the top of the ceiling of your Avodas HaKodesh and Avodas HaShem should be the floor that all of your children start out from.
Amen.
That's crucial. That's everything. That's why we have to be careful. But Lafum Tzara Agra, because we're going to have to really fight. And when you do, Hashem smiles on you and says, wow, look at what you did. You think you failed. You think that you were horrible. Do you realize what you were doing 10 years ago? And where you are now? Your failure might be a nothing compared. Again, don't use this to get arrogant. Don't use this to be like, ah, great, I don't have to do tshuva, done deal. But use this to increase your self-esteem and your self-awareness of who you are. There's some level of just appreciating who you are and hearing that from somebody who also went through that journey. You probably, everybody in this room can go around and think of just like, just this past week, something that happened in your Avodas Hashem. That might have been a real challenge that an FFB would never in a million years face. Similar to my wedding case, or in your entire journey of whatever it is, dealing with family members, dealing with other relatives, other things in the world of learning that might be challenging. Halakha, you know, FFBs are taught like from the very, very beginning, everything's muksa. So their challenge is to figure out what the malachas are. Yeah? We don't know anything. we need a Rav Banish. We need our Rebbeim. And slowly but surely, we work and we work and we climb up the mountain. And again, wherever you happen to be holding on that mountain is beautiful. You might not be at the top yet. Maybe you haven't changed your life completely. I'm thinking almost everybody who has gone to yeshiva almost has already. Yeah, I would think everybody in this room has already to some extent. Keeping Shabbos, Kashrus is growing, or at least is, you know, saying that they want to live a from Torah life. You know, at whatever strain or stage of life that might be, whatever hashkafa that might ultimately be. But you have to celebrate your greatness and see where you've come from. Because if you don't, you will get bogged down in all the sins you've done. And the biggest sin that you could do during Elul is thinking that you did tshuva and all you did was beat yourself down. The Yetzer Hara crushed you. You thought you did tshuva. You thought that you succeeded, and ultimately the Yetzer Hara won because you beat the tar out of yourself, thinking that you're a nothing. And that's not the MS. That's not the way to do it. That's not the approach. And you have to know that really, your greatness lies within the challenges that you overcame. And we really do say, Makom Shabali Tshuva Omdin, Tzadikim Gemurim, Einam Omdin. And let's say you want to hold that we don't say that that Gemara is about us. Rabbi Orlovich's mushel for sure still is. So when you realize that you're climbing up that mountain and you finally get to the summit, whatever that summit's going to look like, and you see some cute child up on that top of that mountain, you have to really see, oh, you were born there, but I struggled to get here. Is he going to climb his own mountain, quote unquote? Probably. Will he get higher than us? Hopefully, right? And that's one of the questions that the Q&A was targeted towards. What about children who, you know, are going to, I say, learn you under the table? What that really means is that they're going to surpass you so much so that it would be hard for you to mentor them. That's a good thing. They're not looking to you to be the biggest whopping Talmud Chacham in the universe. They're looking for you to be their Abba and their Tati. Yeah? And if I can go to my kids saying, hey guys, guess what? Abba just learned 2,000 Mishnayos and published a Sefer and is giving Shir right now. They're going to respect that even if their Rebbeim are doing infinitely more. Or even if you're at a level where you're like, I keep a night saber that I go to and I'm stark about my learning, whatever it might be, and I'm on fire about it. They're going to respect that far more than the guy who happens to go to whatever shul and is like, just, okay, Abba Sabonim, yeah, you're right. When you are passionate about teaching your kids Torah, and when it's all over you, that's everything to them. Whether you need a mentor to outsource it to, and then you supplement with your love and your passion and the fire and the things that made you change your life for Torah, or not, that's everything. So then next. Well, first, I'll pause. We'll take questions if there are any before we go on to how we can affect the world, change the world, and see our greatness of what we can actually do uniquely. Questions, comments, reactions?
I guess I have to ask, but there has to be a little bit of beating yourself, right? Because you can't just, like you said, you can't be arrogant and say, like, oh, I'm good. So what is that balance then?
Very good. So the question was, what is the balance between not just getting arrogant and look how great I am and I don't have to do anything? What is the actual, and the balance between, and all of the avoda? Well, first I would say you don't beat yourself up at all. That's not the essence of tshuva.
Okay.
There's my wife said this beautifully over Shabbos. There's regret, right? You have to have charata, but you don't have to have guilt. You have to have charata.
Can you explain that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to have charata, you have to have regret, but you don't have guilt. Your regret is, I should never have done that, I feel awful about it. And then there's a level of being able to move on from that. You have to move on. You don't languish in your tshuva and you feel, oh, I feel guilty, horrible, and it schleps year after year.
Baggage.
Yeah, if you did your tshuva properly, yeah, then the charata, you feel in the moment, oh, I'm so lacking. I can't believe I did that. And then you resolve to never do it again. And you hopefully grow and you do better. And then you move on and you live your life. A guilt-free life. But you had charata. That's the balance. You hear? So the idea is, you have to see, when you're analyzing all of what you're doing, in the actual mechanics of the tshuva process, that one, you're awesome. And you're amazing for what you've done to change your life. It's like a cheshbon nefesh. You have to start with the positives. But then ultimately you will have to go to all the things that you messed up on. Let me now analyze what I did. The problem is many people in Elul do it the reverse. And they never get to that other piece. And then by the time they're standing in front of God on Rosh Hashanah, they have all the pachad in the world. But then they're like, but I'm a nothing. And sometimes there's different levels of I'm a nothing, right? There's the no self-esteem, I'm a nothing. And then there's, I have tons of self-esteem in the world, but I realize just how great God is. And that's why I'm a nothing. You hear? And so we have to realize the second part of I'm a nothing, not the first. You're not a nothing because you're useless and worthless and nothing. God made you, and God doesn't make mistakes. God made you, and He doesn't make mistakes. You're here for a mission and a purpose. But in the grand scheme of things, in the way that Hashem has all of the information and all the knowledge and everything, then we see, like, I'm a nothing. Okay? So next is, this came from my Rebbe, Rabbi Gershenfeld, at the Baal Tshuva Akdus event at Or Sameach, for those who are aware of it. All the different yeshivas came together. It was amazing. It happened about, I think, last year, possibly.
January, maybe.
Yeah, something like that, right? And they all came together, and they learned. It was the first time in history that it, like, never, ever happened. Yeah, maybe not even a year or so ago, right? Maybe
no,
even sooner.
After October 7th.
Yeah, it was right after the war. They want to have a big Akdus event, literally because of that. Good. Very good.
That was the best year.
And so, right. And so there, it's like such a special thing to see the unity involved with everybody. And these are the five takeaways that Rabbi Gershenfeld shared in terms of what it is that a Baal Tshuva can do for the world. Because again, sometimes, just like in Elul, we beat ourselves up too much. We think I'm a nothing. I'm just the Baal Tshuva. I'll kind of like integrate, like, and that's enough. No. No. You have achrayas to do something in the world that's special because of your past. And this is not always going to be said, but it needs to be. You have to use your past to your advantage. Just like Rabillo had said at the Q&A, right? If there's something that's absolutely toxic, you do shecht it, you get rid of it. Right? Ruben asked, at what point do I share my past? I'm not going to talk about sharing your past. I'm talking about utilizing your past. Yeah? What part of my past can I utilize that's incredibly successful? You went to college and you did phenomenal on your tests and you have like, you know, you went to a really, really good school and you're very intellectual, but the firm world doesn't really do that. I don't care. You're an intellectual. You have an amazing ability to put words into practice or words into a way that others can't understand or appreciate. Use your kochos. And that's huge. And so Baalei Tshuva need to see that we're not just this, oh, I'm going to just kind of stand in the shul. I'm okay. Like, I'll just blend in. Yeah, I'll wear the jacket and that. No. You hopefully will blend in a certain sense, but you should stand out in how you can do things. Shlomo Vaizel is a great example of this. If you see him come to the Aguda, he davens from the Amud. That's a perfect example of a person at his stage of life where he is right now, integrating and being a leader in something. It could be as small as davening from the Amud at the shul. It could be as big as whatever you think in your head. You name it. But you have to see that you have special talents in Kochus and Nefesh that you can utilize in the FFB world. Don't just think you have to blend in and be a nothing. You have powers. Otherwise, God wouldn't have put you here to begin with those powers. Okay, so these are the five things. We can teach people about tshuva, just like we can explain that mashal that Rabbi Orlovich did so well, which is amazing coming from a person who's FFB himself, but yet he works so diligently and vigilantly with BTs to appreciate it, that, you know, we could show somebody what tshuva is like. It's not about, you know, crushing your soul. It's actually about connecting to the deeper part of your soul. And tshuva is not merely the removal of your sins. It's coming back to who you are. It's a return. It's a return to who you really ultimately are. And so we can show the world that, either through our actions and our deeds, or by speaking about it in a healthy, holy way. Two, we can give people energy and hope for the future by being inspirational. And this is something that sometimes wanes. A guy like Nathan is coming off of the boat probably a little bit more passionate and energetic than a guy like me, who's been who's been out for a little while. Hopefully I'm still inspirational and passionate, you know. You do your best to work on that, but it could very well be that a person who is right out of yeshiva and in the chabura now has a passion that will wane, and you got to hold on to that. You should write down your passion and what you're feeling like right now in this moment. I love ABC about Judaism. And by the way, if you can't write down I love whatever something about Judaism, talk to me after shir. We have a whole different sugya you have to be diving into. If all you're doing, if your entire goal is about tshuva is I want to be an FFB, something else is wrong too. See me after shir. We'll shmooze that over too. Right? But so you have to realize that you can give energy and hope to people. And that's number two. Number three, we can show people how they should live their lives. And oftentimes you'll see an approach of learning is everything. Learning is the only thing. But there's also being honest in business, being a great husband, being a great father, having good mitzvos, being a kiddush Hashem, and all of these things that we have a sensitivity to because we've had to work at it, because we didn't have these sensitivities even just a few years ago, it's something that we can be able to give over to the world. And we should. We can teach others Torah. Imagine what it would be like to rise to a level where you're not only learning at the same level as an FFB, but you're able to give a shir to people that are FFB, or maybe not even, but whatever it might be. You can teach Torah, and the way that you teach Torah over is going to be with a different flavor, with a different excitement, with a different machshava, a different understanding than what other people might be able to do it with. And so that's also huge. And then we can bind ourselves together and create a real movement, a tshuva movement, like Rabbi Schiller did, Rabbi Weinberg, Rabbi Weinbach, and Rabbi Rosenberg. They all came together. They were the main Rebbeim that wanted to make a tshuva movement. And it's not just that we can kind of like be a part of it. We can actually do it. We can be the leaders in the front lines. Boys, you are literally a stone's throw away from Rutgers University.
Wednesday nights.
And at Rutgers University, Wednesday nights. Mamish, you can do Kiruv. Get a special dispensation, just like you do for date night, for Wednesday night. Come out, do Kiruv. Even do it just once a month, yeah? Miss Night Seder just once a month. See what it's like to just impact other people. And you'll see, like, oh, look at where I was. I was on the other side of the aisle, just like a few years back. Now I could be on the other side of the aisle, giving back. That's what we can do. And when you see other people coming into the fold, you have a unique ability to immediately resonate with them because you were them. When I see somebody on Wednesday night wearing a punk rock T-shirt, I resonate with that. You would never know that I listened to the Ramones, the Dead Kennedys, the Sex Pistols, the Clash, Rage Against the Machine, all these lefty crazies. Yeah. You have no clue, but I did. And I can resonate. And immediately I can appreciate tremendous depths of lumpness too. Yeah? And you merge your worlds. You merge your worlds. I used to go to punk rock shows. I used to go to ska shows. And they had dances that you do in pits. And anybody who ever has seen me at a wedding will be like, where did you learn how to jump that high? That's where I learned how to jump that high. You makadish the physical. And as much as we're joking about it, it's a very serious matter too. Because that's taking your past, something that could have been treif, and schlepping it into a kadosh way. I don't wear a punk rock jacket, but I do still bring those moves out for shtick to fulfill a mitzvah. That's huge. That's the makom that we can stand in, that the FFB will never be able to stand. So as we approach Rosh Hashanah, we should be trembling out of awe. And we should also, you know, be making sure that we do tshuva. But we can't forget that there's got to be a component of joy. You have to joyfully stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Abba, look how I changed my life for you. Look how I changed my life for you. I'm still climbing up the mountain. And it's hard. But I'm still trying. I'm still trying. And so we'll close with that. But I just wanted to end with one zemer. We don't normally do this, but I think it's so crucial. Because on Simchas Torah, when you sing Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, after this shir, and after you go back and dial back to all your life experiences, your Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu should be way more powerful than theirs. Because yeah, Torah is our inheritance. But we really, really, really changed our life for it. And we're not born into it. And again, before we break out into Ashreinu, we are proud and love that other dynamic of who they are. But you can't ignore the fact that this is who you are. Integrate, blend in, but you don't have to go bragging at your Baal Teshuva, but internal simcha is what we're going for. You have to seriously see the greatness in who you are. Ashreinu, Matov Chalkeinu. Ashreinu, Matov Chalkeinu, Manayim Gor Aleinu. Ashreinu, Matov Chalkeinu, Manayim Gor Aleinu.